Good evening.
Good evening, Mayor.
Thank you, Monty, for that prayer. Really appreciate that. And we are on. And I hope we all do gain knowledge. I've always wondered if I'm ever going to gain knowledge, but we'll see. I keep trying. Thanks again for the elders and allowing me to have another opportunity to stand before you for a few minutes. Anyway, to give you a portion of God's word from his Bible that he has inspired to us. So, I want you all to... I got a Gene. Gene looked up, didn't he? Okay. So, this is kind of a repeat, but I hadn't done this until for about a year and a half, and I might have a little different audience, but this is, of course, what military do when they're in danger, okay? So it's an effort to protect oneself from harm, and everyone that's gone through military training understands what that means. And you don't stand there and like, what did you say? Or why? Why do I have to take cover? You just react, just like Gene did. That was a good one, by the way. That wasn't even rehearsed either. So we're going to talk a little bit about how this can conceptually be compared to our walk with Jesus. The in Field Manual, which we just say FM 21-75, which is Combat Skills of the Soldier, we're going to talk two different things about concealment and cover and what the difference of those are. So concealment is, by definition, anything that hides you from the enemy's observation. Concealment does not protect you from enemy fire. So this would be if you're hiding behind a bush or maybe in the shadows. So they can't see you necessarily with the human eye. Or when in battle, a lot of times they'll throw smoke. Maybe you've seen this in the movie, they'll pop, we say pop smoke, and it conceals them so they can maybe gain cover, okay? But obviously bullets will still travel through and will get you a lucky shot. Now the difference is what you want to seek is cover. And from the same field manual, cover is defined as giving protection from bullets, fragments, or exploding rounds, flames, nuclear effects, and biological and chemical agents. Cover can also conceal you from enemy observation. And that makes sense, because if it can protect you from bullets and all the bad things that can harm the human body, then most likely it's going to conceal you as well. So cover is the best. Concealment, if nothing else, is better than just being out in plain sight. Now, how are we going to incorporate this into what we're going to talk about tonight? So I've got a few things we're going to talk about, cover versus concealment. Now, here's a picture that's really good. This guy's got some great concealment. I'm not a hunter, per se. I went hunting one time when I was a teenager because all these guys at school were saying, you know, I got this 80-point buck and all this stuff. And true story, I had a beater as a car, my first car, right? And so these guys at school were bragging about getting deer. So I was working midnight or closing at McDonald's. So I was coming home in the wee hours in the morning, and I was almost home, came around the corner by the niece's house, and there was a deer in the middle of the road, and I gunned it. I wanted to get me a deer. So I did hit it, but he just bounced off, and he kept going. I hope I didn't lame him, so... But, I mean, that's pretty lame anyway. But this guy is using concealment. He's going hunting, and he blends right in with there for the most part. And one of my favorite movies is all the Rambo series. Even though he talks dumb, he's actually a very intelligent man. And so in this particular scene, he's plastered up against mud, and it wasn't until he opens his eyes that this enemy soldier in front of him didn't see him, and so he was concealed. He could be gotten with a knife and all that, but unfortunately, the other happened. So now cover is a different thing. This is, I used to know what this, Phalanx, something like this. This is what the Romans did. One of my favorite movies of all times is Gladiator, okay? And I could just quote it so many times. But they used this form to protect from arrows. So it's obviously concealing them, and it's covering them from arrows. In this case, I think it was rocks from protesters and such. And this one picture right here, they're gaining cover from this armored vehicle. And this, of course, reminds me of the movie Full Metal Jacket, where they're showing them walking behind the metal of the tank. Okay, so let's show some differences here. Now, you do things to avoid detection. There's methods of detection, and then there's countermeasures. Okay, so I started my military career in signal or communications, and we used to use ECCM or electric countermeasures. Okay, so we would do things because we know the enemy would try to detect our signal, and we would try to do things to counteract that. So here's just a few examples. Some of them are quite tongue-in-cheek. But darkness, not complete darkness, so think of dusk. Night vision goggles or NVGs, passive. Now the difference between passive and active, by the way. Passive is just it takes the ambient light and magnifies it, okay? And active, it shoots infrared flashlight, if you will, and then takes that and magnifies it. So, and then the method of defeating that is be behind a solid object, because night vision goggles cannot defeat that. Okay. Then you have darkness complete, or say in a cave. I remember going caving when I was a kid, and there is no darkness that is darker than in a cave. Your eyes almost hurt for trying to see something. Night vision goggles, active with that infrared beacon out, can defeat that. But then again, if you're behind a solid object, then that will defeat it. Okay. Behind a non-solid object, thermal imagery, it takes it goes out there and it takes the body heat and they just glow. Okay, but in the movie Predator, he put mud on him to protect him from the thermal. Okay, and so that insulated his body heat. Behind a solid object, of course, Superman vision can see behind a solid object. But if you put lead in front of it, then it defeats Superman. Okay, he wasn't one of my favorite superheroes, by the way. In the air, beyond visual range, you can use radar, which I put the definition of radar here is radio detection and ranging. But you stealth technology. They came up with, I don't even remember what decade they came up with stealth technology, which basically hides the plane from radar. Okay. Then you have in the ocean depths, you have sonar, which is the definition is sound navigation and ranging, but they used to use silent running rigging to defeat that, and you know, Run Silent, Run Deep, some of those other movies like that use that. Okay, soft talking or whispering, which is generally what a McLean cannot do. Okay, they have sensitive listening devices. Sometimes you see it on the side of the football sidelines and stuff, which I think there's a game or something today. They use that, and it looks a little thing, and you can hear, and it takes it, magnifies it. But in an audio jammer, trying to think what movie that was in, doesn't matter. But they jam that, and that's a countermeasure. Okay, and then in the vastness of space, of course, Starship sensors can. On Star Trek can get that, but then the Romulans and the Klingons, that had a cloaking device, but we were never allowed to develop that in the Starfleet. And then you had the cloaking device, but then of course you had the plasma exhaust or tachyon net, but we haven't found a countermeasure for that yet. So obviously these are obviously tongue in cheek, but you can see that there's measures you can take. And then there's countermeasures. We'll see again, what in the world is he going? How can we do this? So, Big Brother's watching. This term has been used for a long time. And then there's movies such as Enemy of the State. I don't know if you've seen that. Will Smith and Gene Hackman, where He's being watched by everything, satellites and all these cameras on every corner that they can hack into and such. There's also the movie Eagle Eye. You can say I'm a movie buff, with Shia LaBeouf, I think is how you pronounce his name, also in the Transformers movies, where he's being talked to by something and we later figure out it's like a supercomputer that's talking to him, calling him on the phone and such like that. And then there's the song by Sting, which I don't like Sting. Every breath you take, I'll be watching you. Strangely enough, when this song came out, everybody used it for proms and stuff like that, and they thought it was a love song, but it's actually a stalking song, so it's, you know, not really cool. And if you think about it, it makes sense, right? Everything you take, I'll be watching you. So, and then there's the song by Rockwell. This group says, I always feel like somebody's watching me. Now you got that stuck in your head, down, don't you? So there's Big Brother's watching us out there. So they, you know, they always say, you never know. And there's also Conspiracy Theory. That's another movie with Mel Gibson, that he's always thinking somebody's after him. Okay? So continuing on, there's always there are ways to conceal yourself from observation of people. Okay? So we played around with some of those ideas and such, and you know, even if Big Brother's watching, you can still find a way. But is there a way to conceal ourselves from God's observation? Okay, and found these neat little pictures here. I don't know if you can tell in the right picture there. It supposedly looks like eyes looking at you, and that's probably computer generated. I don't know. It was supposed to have been real, but. You know, I've always said God waited all day long to paint the sky. I just love looking at sunsets, and it just seems like he creates colors for the occasion. Okay, but can we really truly conceal ourselves from God's observation? We'll see. Watching You is a hymn by John M. Henson in our book, our songbook 564, and. Just look and see what the some of the lyrics of that is. 564. Watching you all along the road to the soul's true abode, there's an eye watching you. Every step that you take, this great eye is awake. There's an eye watching you. Second verse. As you make life's great flight, keep the pathway aright. There's an eye watching you. God will warn not to go in the path of the foe. There's an eye watching you. And third verse, fix your mind on the goal, that sweet home of the soul. There's an eye watching you. Never turn from the way to the kingdom of day. There's an eye watching you. And the chorus, there's an eye watching you, watching you, watching you. Every day, mind the course you pursue, watching you, watching you. There's an all-seeing eye watching you. Some of you, probably most of you, have heard this song, even sang this song. And it is absolutely 100% true, and we'll see that from the scriptures. In Proverbs 15 and verse 3, I chose the New King James Version for this. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. And we always tell these to the kids too, especially. And I mean, it's a good way to scare them into being good, but it's absolutely true. God's watching you. God's watching you. Make good choices, okay? And then we have the next one, which is Psalms 33 and 13 from the New International Version. From heaven, the Lord looks down and sees all of mankind. And that one was in there. For our friend that likes NIV. Psalm 53 and 2, the New Revised Standard Version, God looks down from heaven on humankind to see if there are any who are wise who seek after God. In Proverbs 5 and 21, it says, for the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders his paths. He, being capitalized, is talking about God, is pondering the man's paths. And in Zechariah 4 and 10, says, for who has despised the day of small things? For these seven rejoice to see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. They are the eyes of the Lord, which scan to and fro throughout the whole earth. God is constantly watching us. We are constantly under observation. We cannot conceal ourselves from this observation. As you know from one of my favorite scriptures in Psalms, David says in Psalms 39, 1 through 12, it's a long read, but it's a very good one. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You understand my thought from afar. You scrutinize my path and my lying down and are ultimately acquainted with all my ways. Even before there's a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all. You have enclosed me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high. I cannot attain to it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the dawn, I dwell in the remotest part of the sea. Even there, your hand will lead me. And your right hand will lay hold of me. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me, and the light all around me will be night. Even the darkness is not too dark for you. And the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light, or light, are alike to you. The Lord can see us at all times. There's no place to hide. There's an old saying, you can run, but you can't hide. That's pretty much what it was with the Lord. Hebrews 4 and 13 in the New Testament says, and there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to his eyes of him with whom we have to do. This is a concept that's inconceivable to us. And it's very difficult for us to understand. The world always says, give me proof. And it's like, how can I prove to something that's out of my existence and knowledge and understanding? Ecclesiastes 12 and 13 and 14, Solomon says the conclusion, this was listed this morning, I think, the conclusion when all has been heard is, fear God and keep his commandments, because this applies to every person. For God will bring every judgment, every act into judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it's good or evil. It's only hidden to us. It's not hidden to God. He sees it. And he knows it. 2 Corinthians 5 and 10, for we must all appear for the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. There's nothing we can do that will be hidden from the Lord. He knows everything we do. He knows our thoughts. We cannot seek concealment. We can't even seek cover. In Philippians 2, 9 through 11, for this reason also God highly exalted him, talking about Jesus, and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven, and those who are on the earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord, the glory of God the Father. There's a saying, and you may have heard it, there's no atheist in hell. And because when they're in torment or Hades in the waiting place, they know who's in charge. They know that there is a God. And that's a scary thing. That's a scary thing that there's an entity, there is a being that has never had a beginning and never had an end. And it knows everything. That almost confounds the mind. It almost hurts your brain. We cannot conceal ourselves from God, but we can take cover from God's wrath and judgment. But you just said you can't take cover. Oh, well, let's see. We cannot take cover. But how are we going to do this? Or we can't take concealment. Okay, so God is complete and utter light with no darkness or sin, and cannot even be in the presence of sin. God cannot have sin in heaven, period. And they say that, if he is a loving God, he will take me to heaven, okay? Or something like that. Well, people say, how can a loving God send you to hell? Well, actually, I heard a preacher once say that that's the wrong question. How can a just God take us to heaven? Right? Because we are stained with sin. Okay? But we can get over that. In 1 John 1 and 5 says, God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. We can take cover from God's wrath and judgment by being sinless. How can you be sinless? It's impossible. It is impossible on our own accord, but nothing is impossible with God. Since we cannot be sinless, we must be covered in Jesus' sinless blood so that God cannot see our sins. See our sins. Okay? In 1 John 1:1-7, but if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So it's not like we still have it and the blood is covering it. It's just the blood covers it and washes it away. It's no longer on us as long as we walk in the light. Okay? That's in every one of God's promises, there has always been a stipulation. Okay? He told the Jews, this will be your land forever. There was a stipulation. They had to obey God, right? Okay? And they left him many times. But how do we walk in the light, you might ask? So let's examine that. There we go. You have to hear the word. You absolutely have to hear the word. This is one opportunity. The other's opportunity by reading the word. In Romans 10 verse 17 it says, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing from the word of God. You cannot have faith unless you hear the word, right? How do you believe anything? Faith is a concept hard enough anyway. Faith is believing in something even when there's no empirical proof that it can happen, right? So that's why in James it says it is possible to please God without faith. We have to believe, and Hebrews 11:16 says, and without faith it is impossible. Well, Hebrews, not James. It is impossible to please him, for he comes to God. He must believe that he, Jesus, is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And that's diligently is placed in there because I think someone once said that the Hebrew word of seek means an ongoing, urgent action. So diligently seek him, not just to seek him once. We must repent from our sins. What does that mean? What does that mean? People say that all the time. We say it here all the time. What is it? Repenting is not only a change of thought, but it's a change of action. Okay? Someone says, I'm gonna quit drinking. Okay? As they take another sip. Okay? That's not repenting because it's an action. It is making a decision to do something and then doing an about face and facing the other way. It's not putting yourself in situations where it is going to possibly tempt you to go back to that. Okay? You just totally divorce yourself from that situation. Anything that, I've said it before, you could put a pile of cocaine right here. I'd get a shot back and clean it all up. It means nothing because it's not a temptation for me. Everybody has their own temptation. And Peter says in this, repent each one of you and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive a gift of the Holy Spirit. Again, there's a condition. They had to repent and then be baptized. So there's two conditions there, isn't there? And then you'll receive the forgiveness of sins. I never understood how people say baptism is necessary. You could go to Acts 2:38 if that was the only verse and be done with it. But people want to question it. You must confess. What does that mean? Well, there's the good confession that the people that say, and that's the one talking about the Ethiopian eunuch. He has the good confession. But if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Once again, there's two conditions. You must believe in your heart. Well, what does that mean? Well, I believe that Kansas City is going to win the game tonight. Do I believe it in my heart? No. Anything can happen. As I like to tell, I had sectionals yesterday, and I like to give a spiel to the champions when I'm doing the championship match. And so I call him over when they're getting ready, and I say, okay, guys. And I say, I don't know if you two have wrestled before, and I don't care. Because anybody can beat anybody in 6 minutes. And if you haven't seen the movie Vision Quest, you need to see it, because that's the original wrestling movie that shows Landon Swain beating Shoot, which is the state champion, okay? And he believed it in his heart, Swain did, that he could beat this state champion. Everybody thought he was an idiot, and he had to drop a whole bunch of weight, yada, yada, like this. So believing it in your heart when there's no empirical proof, you have to have faith. For it's impossible to please God without faith, as Hebrews tells us. And then you must be baptized. Another one, it's an excellent verse in there. It talks about Acts 2:38, but 1 Peter 3 and 21 says, consequently to that, baptism now saves you. Where's the confusion of that? I don't understand. And the removal, and not the removal from dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because we are buried with him. I love the symbolism that God has always had, very much in the Old Testament, very much in the New Testament. It is a symbol of the dying of the old man of sin. And what do you do with dead bodies? You don't leave them lying around, you bury them. Okay? You don't bury them, in this case, in dirt, you bury them in water. So there's, how could you say the sprinkling was baptism? Whatever. That's another subject. So you bury the old man of sin in water. And then just like Jesus was raised from the dead by the Spirit and to walk in newness of life. Folks, this is how you can take cover from God's wrath, because there will be wrath in the final day against those that mocked him, that didn't believe him, that didn't obey him, and didn't believe him. And then we must live faithfully. Of course, Revelation 2 and verse 10, be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. And I think this squelches the idea of once saved, always saved, but they want to come up. I always said, you can believe whatever you want, but it doesn't make it true, right? I can believe that we can go home tonight at 75 miles an hour and not get a ticket, but it ain't going to make it true, because those guys are watching for you. Talk about Big Brother watching. So, in conclusion, no matter whether you choose to submit, obey, even believe in Jesus while you're here on this earth, I guarantee you, you're going to do it on Judgment Day. Because God never had anything written in His Word that wasn't true. And if we can stand, even on trembling knees, we will still be bowing a knee to him. And we will confess that Jesus is Lord without fail. I've always thought it was interesting. Even Hitler, yes. Even Mussolini, yes. Even all these other horrible serial killers, they will be quaking in their proverbial boots because of the Almighty and his glory and his excellence and his power and the light. They won't be able to stand. And we will then be judged by Jesus for the deeds we have done here on earth, whether in secret or in public. You're never in secret. You're never totally in secret. I get to work from home. I love it. It's wonderful. It's quiet. Or if I want to turn on Fox News or $6 Million Man or something, I mean, it's awesome. Okay? And it's like, oh, well, I'm all alone. I'm not alone, even though I have two dogs and three cats. I'm not alone, because God's there. The all-seeing eye is always watching you. Folks, that's your lesson. I want to urge you, if you have anything that's standing between you and the throne of God, whether it be you haven't committed your life, you haven't submitted your will in baptism, or if you have been baptized and you've had a problem and you've strayed away. We put up a good front. We absolutely do. Humans are really good at that. And what's a lot of times people say, well, how you doing? Oh, just fine. I'm fine. And most people aren't fine. Most people aren't fine, especially if they're not without Jesus. They're seeking something. They have an ingrained something deep down in them that God's placed that's a need. That's why people seek satisfaction from money, from drugs, from sex, from popularity, and it's all fleeting, as Ecclesiastes Solomon told us. Everything is vain. Everything. Except submitting your life and becoming a Christian. Folks, if there's any need at all, please make it known as we stand and sing.
647.